Okay, as I said, we're going to look about considering our ways today. And I mentioned the book of Haggai. So if you turn to the book of Haggai, it's one of the minor prophets. You've got Zephaniah, Haggai, and Zechariah. Zephaniah, Haggai, and Zechariah. It's in between Zephaniah and Zechariah. Haggai chapter 1. And we're going to read the first chapter. There's only two chapters in the book. But there's so much content in the book. And we're going to refer to chapter 2 as well. We'll mention a few verses there. It all ties together. But we'll just read chapter 1 of Haggai. Haggai 1 and verse 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much and brought in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And verse 11 says, And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labour of the hands. Then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of Darius the king. Let's bow before the Lord and ask for his blessing upon his word today. And let's pray that God will speak to each of our hearts. We've all come with different needs, I'm sure. And we need to pray that God will meet with us as we meet together as his people. And may we be united as we worship him today. Our God in heaven, we thank you for thy word. We thank you, Lord, it's still a living book. We know it always will be. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit who comes alongside and teaches us and guides us into all truth. We thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit applies the word of God to hearts. And we pray today as we open up thy book and we hear from your word that you will challenge us, you will encourage us, Lord, to consider our ways. Help us, Lord, to know the direction that you have for us in our lives. Help us not to wander through life and just go through the motions. Help us, Lord, to get a view of Christ afresh today. Help us, Lord, to get a view of the work that needs to be done, Lord. Help us to get a view of the kingdom that is being built by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to get a view and a burden for the lost, a burden for our own hearts, a burden for the lost as well, that we'll have that burden to know where we are at with God, and the burden that others will get in line with God, and they will trust in God through Jesus Christ and depend on his righteousness. We pray that you'll just give us a burden, give us a vision, help us to go forward in thy work even after this morning. Help us, Lord, in our own personal lives to always be praying always having that burden that God's church will be built. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're at a stage in history where a lot of Jews, they had returned to the region of Judah. They had returned to the region of Judah because they had been taken away captive by the Babylonians. And they were now returning to their homeland, and they were now settling in their homeland, in the southern region of Israel at least, and they were beginning to rebuild their lives. Now Zerubbabel, he is the governor of Judah at this time, and Joshua, he is the high priest. And I mention these two men because they received the words of the Lord through Haggai the prophet. They received the word of the Lord through Haggai the prophet, first of all. If you look at the next book, I'm not going to read any verses, but Zechariah, the book of Zechariah is found there. And Haggai and Zechariah both went with a message at the same time in Ezra chapter 5. And you can turn to Ezra chapter 5. Ezra chapter 5. And it says there in verse 1, this is the event, this is where it was taking place, where the Israelites were returning from captivity and they were settling in the homeland of Judah again. And Haggai and Zechariah go together and they bring the word of the Lord unto Zechariah. Ezra 5 and verse 1, then the prophets Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. Then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedek, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. And you can read on there of that particular place, that event, that was that situation. It was that time where God was speaking his word to Zerubbabel, to Joshua, and to all of the people as a whole. This message which was being presented, it was vital for people. It was vital for God's people to hear, and it was vital for God's people to obey. The walls of Jerusalem, they had been destroyed when they had been taken away into captivity. The temple was in ruins, and God's people were taken up so much with their own lives now that they were settling back into their homeland. They weren't thinking about the rebuilding of the wall. They didn't seem to be thinking about the rebuilding of the temple, the need to rebuild those things that were so important. They thought that much about their own lives that they neglected, especially at this point in history, the building of the temple. The walls, they would later be rebuilt. The next book from Ezra is Nehemiah. And you read in Nehemiah how the walls of Jerusalem were built up. That happened after the temple was rebuilt. But we're at this stage in history in Ezra where the house of the Lord was going to be rebuilt again. And that message was being presented to these people. And as I said, they were taking up so much time with their own lives and not thinking, not considering their ways, not considering the work that had to be done for the Lord. You know, I'm sure we can remember God's mercy to us as a church, as a congregation, as individuals, as we've lived our lives, and we think of how God has been merciful to each one of us. And we think of the past, how God has been so good. You could list event after event, I'm sure every one of us could. And Israel, they could list event after event in their history of how God had looked after them and how God had preserved them. And you would think, now that they had come out of captivity, now that they were settling down into the land of Judah again, you would think, great, we can get on with the building of the temple, we can build the walls, we can go forward. And you could think, surely, that they weren't idle. We could think, surely, they were going forward in God's work. Surely, they were going forward with an interest, with a desire to see the temple restored again. But the sad reality is, there was no enthusiasm. There was no zeal, no fire. Very little desire for the work of God in their hearts, for the work of God to progress and go forward. That was the situation. And you know, we can challenge ourselves from the outset of this message this morning, this afternoon, and we can think of that in our own lives. How often do we put so many unnecessary things before spending time with God ourselves, before spending time with God to pray for the work of God to go forward? Just generally, how much time do we spend in unnecessary things and striving after unnecessary things, as opposed to spending time with God, having time to have a burden for God, to have a burden to get before God and lay hold on God for every aspect of our lives, and to lay hold on God for the work of God to go forward. When we're just thinking today, challenging each one of us, challenging you, that you would consider your ways on the basis of what is highlighted here in Haggai. Think about how these people, they had the wrong attitude. They had the wrong attitude in the work of the Lord. Look at Haggai chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 2. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 2. It says there, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." So you just think of that. Haggai's coming with this message and he says, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts." He's coming with this message from the Lord. And he says, "This people say, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." And immediately we can challenge ourselves with this question. How many of us at some point in our lives sit back and take this attitude? It's good when we don't, but very often we're all guilty of it. We all have that. At some point in our lives, we have that attitude where we sit back and think, somebody else will do that particular thing. How many of us, or how often do we have this attitude that it's not my responsibility to even be burdened for the work of the Lord or to be active in the Lord's work in general? And we can be quick to let perhaps the minister do the job. We can be quick to let the minister do the job or let somebody else do the job, perhaps in Sunday school or children's meeting, whatever it might be, whatever aspect it might be. And we come to church, we let those people do the work, we walk out the doors, we live our lives, we read a little through the week of the Bible, we pray a little, but generally speaking, it's like we leave God in a church building. Very often we can be guilty of that. And we can go through weeks where we go away from the presence of the Lord and the house of the Lord, and we go away from fellowshipping with other believers. And we can go through the motions of the week, and we go to work, and we can be tired. I understand that. I work a couple of days a week there, Monday and Tuesday, and do 12 hours each day, and you come home and you're absolutely shattered. And if you're doing that every day, you can just get into a motion, a way of going, and you can, as it were, leave God in a church building. If you turn to Ephesians, I want you to turn to Ephesians for a moment. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Ephesians 4 verse 11. And it says there, "He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." So there you've got different roles that people have, and that is right. God has given specific roles to different people, and they're mentioned there in verse 11. And that is all for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. Think about these next words. "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ." And the whole, while there are many roles given to different people, there's many roles there to teach and to preach and various different things. It is all for the building up of the saints. It's all presenting before the wider congregation, ultimately the head of the church, Jesus Christ. And that is vital to remember. And the whole theme of chapter 4 there is the unity of the church. The unity of the church built around the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we read on to verse 16, "From whom the whole body," speaking of Christ, "from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. It mentions there about the whole body fitly joined together and compacted. Compacted by that which every joint supplieth. You can read on, there's so much there. I'll not take time to go into everything, but there's that responsibility then for different people who have those roles. But there's that theme there of membering one another. Membering one another in a congregation. Membering one another in a church. You read on down at the end of verse 25. For we are members of one another. And as a congregation, we are not, in verse 30, to grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. We are not to grieve the Holy Spirit. And as we member each other, we are to have a burden for each other. We are to pray for one another. We are to look out for one another and have a burden to get before God for our own lives as well. We have that responsibility. But together as members of the church, we are not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Why do I mention that? Well, in Haggai chapter 1 or chapter 2 and verse 17, it says, I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail in all the labours of your hands, yet ye turned not to me, saith the Lord. They had grieved the Lord. These people had grieved the Lord. They weren't considering their ways. They weren't doing what the Lord was wanting them to do. I got a poem there a while ago, and it goes like this. It is the voice of the sluggard. I heard him complain, you have waked me too soon. I must slumber again. I don't know if you were like that this morning when you got up. But as the door on its hinges, so he on his bed turns his sides and his shoulders and his very head. A little more sleep and a little more slumber. So he wastes half his days and his hours without number. And when he gets up, he sits folding his hands or walks about sauntering or trifling. He stands. I passed by his garden, speaking of somebody walking by, he views the sluggard in his home. I passed by his garden and saw the wild briar, the thorn and the thistle grow broader and higher. The clothes that hang on him are turning to rags, and his money still wastes till he starves or he begs. I made him a visit, still hoping to find that he took better care for improving his mind. He told me his dreams, talked of eating and drinking, but scarce reads his Bible and never loves thinking. Speaking of one who's lazy and just puts aside all those things that really matter. Scarce reads his Bible and rarely does those things that are so necessary in the spiritual life. It says back in Proverbs, you can turn to Proverbs for a moment. Proverbs chapter 6. And it speaks of the sluggard there. In chapter 6 and verse 9. It says there, ask the question, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? In verse 10, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. And ask the question, how long wilt thou sleep, thou sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? We can all get into that mould. We can all get into that way of going. Look at verse 6 in Proverbs 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Consider her ways and be wise. You think of the ant. You think of the ant that just works and works and works, and it pulls and it shoves and it keeps working and working and working. No overseer, no ruler. It just does the work. It keeps going. What's the ant got? It's got initiative. It's got initiative. It just does the work. It gets up and it goes. Think about that. We think of Ephesians 5. I know we've turned there already, but Ephesians 5, just to highlight one of those verses. In Ephesians 5 and verse 14. It just leaves that little challenge. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, or accurately, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. I wonder, have we got a wrong attitude? I wonder if we just gone along with the motions and we set aside the work of the Lord, set aside having a burden for God in our own lives and not laying before him all the things of our lives and trusting in him that he would direct our paths. We need to get a right perspective. Look at verse 4 of Haggai 1. Let's get a right perspective today as we go away from this place. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? These people, they had a wrong attitude and they had a wrong perspective of their purpose as God's people. They were investing more time and striving for their own gain as if they were more important to the work of the Lord. Now, we have got responsibilities. And we do work. We do earn money. We do earn wages. And we earn wages and we have that responsibility for what we do with our wages. And we can invest in things that we would like to have. I'm not telling you to go home and burn everything in your home and get rid of it and live sitting on the floor. That's not what I'm saying this morning. But it mentions there in verse 6 of Haggai 1, "You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes." It's the thought of striving after material things above those things which are more important, above those spiritual things. We need to get a view of materialistic things and realise the end of those materialistic things. If you turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Chapter 1 of Ecclesiastes after Proverbs and verse 3. It says there, "What profit hath a man of all his labour, which he taketh under the sun?" Just think of that question. What profit hath a man of all his labour, which he taketh under the sun? The Bible gives the work ethic of the principle of working, of going out, as I said already, to work. And we've got that responsibility to provide for ourselves, provide for our homes, all the rest of it. But it's got that thought of just striving and investing in things. Investing in material things. What's it all about? What's it matter? And you read in verse 14 of chapter 1 in Ecclesiastes. Verse 14. "I have seen all the works that are done under the sun. And behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit." All is vanity and vexation of spirit. It's just got that thought of putting those things first. Those materialistic things first. We need to realise the future of materialism and remember the cost of discipleship. The cost of discipleship. Following the Lord. Who are we following? What are we striving for in this life? Are we following after materialistic things, or are we following after God? And all those other things falling into place under the hand of God. Under living under Him who is the head and the King of the church. There was a man who said one time, "There are times when solitude is better than society, and silence is wiser than speech. We should be better Christians if we were more alone, waiting upon God and gathering through meditation on His word, spiritual strength for His labour and service. We ought to muse upon the things of God, because we so get the real nutriment out of them. Why is it that some Christians, although they hear many sermons, make but slow advances in the divine life or the heavenly life?" And he gives the answer, "Because they neglect their closets and do not thoughtfully meditate on God's word. They love the wheat, but they do not grind in it." So we might have an interest in the word of God, but we don't actually delve into it. We don't get before God and lay hold on God that he would show us his word and apply the word of God to our hearts. "They would have the corn, but they will not go forth into the fields to gather it." That gives the thought there of reaching out and evangelizing. We love to hear of people coming to know the Lord as God's people, but they will not go forth into the fields to gather it. "The fruit hangs upon the tree, but they will not pluck it. The water flows at their feet, but they will not stoop to drink in it. From such folly," he prays, "deliver us, O Lord." It's just something to think about, some words there. We think of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Philippians chapter 2. We think of how he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We think of how the Lord Jesus, he had the right perspective. He had the vision for souls to be saved. And those souls would be saved through what he would do on the cross at Calvary. Through the shedding of his own blood on the cross at Calvary. And it was through the value of that blood that many would come to know Christ as Saviour. And we who are the members of the body of the Church of Christ, under him, we go forward and we proclaim that message, that same message, that the work which Jesus Christ has done, The work which he has done is sufficient and is enough to cover the sins of those who are still lost in trespasses, still dead in trespasses and in sins. We go forward with that perspective, and we need to get a view of Christ, his person, who he actually is, a view of the ministry that he performed on this earth, a view of what he did to accomplish the work of salvation by going to the cross at Calvary. But may we get a view of him now, who is seated in the heavenly places. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 20. By a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23 of chapter 10. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Let us get a view of him who has made that new and living way, even through his own flesh. And the one who now sits in the heavenly places at the right hand of God, he now prays for his people. Let us realize afresh today that he is alive. These people in Haggai chapter 2 and verse 15, you read there very, very clearly. It says, now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord. What's being said in chapter 2 of verse 15? It's saying, think about all that you strove for while the house of God lay waste. That when you had strove so much, you lost half of your heap of measures. Why do I say that? Look at verse 16. Since those days were when one came to an heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. Their measures were cut in half. And verse 16, or verse 15 is challenging them to consider what they had done, what they were doing. They were striving for things which weren't really so much important as those things that were spiritual. And he was getting them to think of the loss of the vessels of wine that they had. At the end of verse 16, there were but 10. When one came to the press vat for to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. All those crops and those things that they had put before the work of the Lord, those things were important in their way. They had to live, they had to feed themselves, but they have strove so much, they had put more effort into it than they usually had. And even after all the work they had done, there was still only half. There was still only half the reward. Only half of the reward. Yet they put double the effort into it. You see what we're getting at? It's having a greater view of God and trusting more in him and walking with him and having that view of him. Verse 18 then says another phrase about considering. Verse 18, consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month. The word of the Lord came to Zerubbabel, to Joshua, to the people of God on the first day of the 6th month in the 2nd year of Darius. It's now the 24th day of that 6th month in the 2nd year of Darius. 23 days after they heard the word of the Lord, they're hearing this. Consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. And they had heard this just after they had started building the temple, after they had heard the word of the Lord and started doing it. Consider it. What's he saying in this verse? What's being said here? It's saying, consider how that when you begin to change your ways, see how God will change his ways towards you. It's sorting out our own hearts individually as a congregation. It's sorting out our own hearts before God and being accountable for our own lives, being accountable for what we're doing for God, how we're living before God. I wonder, are we guilty? Are you guilty? I'm challenging myself. Am I guilty? I'm definitely guilty. How often are we guilty of having that attitude of neglecting the work of the Lord, neglecting spending time with God, even as we go about our daily duties, neglecting having that burden throughout all of that, that vision for God's work to go forward. We're all guilty of that. And we need to get a right perspective. These people, they were motivated to move. They were motivated to get up, and they were motivated to go. It says in chapter 1 verse 8, go up to the mountain, bring wood, build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Here they were, hearing what the Lord was saying. If they built the temple, the Lord was saying, I will take pleasure in it. The result of completing the task of rebuilding the temple would be that the Lord would be pleased in it. You know, if we correct our ways, and we turn, and we repent of those things that we have slacked in regards to the spiritual walk with the Lord, and we exercise our faith wholly in the Lord, He will be pleased. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please Him. Without faith it is impossible to please Him. And perhaps as a challenge to you who are still unsaved, you need to consider your ways. You need to consider where you're going. You need to consider what way are you with God. The Bible shows forth God's holy law, and it has set the standard. It shows forth God's holy nature and shows that we as sinners, we can never reach that standard. No matter how hard we try to keep the commandments of God, we will never be able to do them perfectly. But the Bible says, by the law is the knowledge of sin. When you weigh up your life alongside the commandments of God, you realize you're a sinner. You realize you're lost. You realize how sinful you really are. And not one of us can reach the high standard of God. And you need to sit with the Word of God. And you need to consider your ways. You need to think about the direction you're heading. There's a way, Proverbs said, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. It says it actually a couple of times in Proverbs. The ways thereof are the ways of death. You need to be very, very careful and to consider your ways. Another thing that should encourage them to go forward is that the Lord would be glorified in the house of the Lord. Our purpose is to glorify God. That's our purpose as human beings. We're made in the image of God. We are created in His image. We're created with that living soul. We're able to give an account of our lives. We're able to be responsible. And we are created with that purpose then to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. We strive and we strive for many things in our lives and we wonder, why is this happening? Why is this happening? Why do I feel down on this day? Why is this happening to me on this day? Maybe it's because we've got away from the Lord. We haven't actually asked the Lord, Lord, help me this week. Help me to live for You this week. Help me to serve You this week. Help me to honour You in everything that I do this week. Maybe it's because we haven't asked the Lord to help us. Maybe it's because we haven't asked the Lord for His fresh grace, His fresh favour, His fresh help to come upon us in our own lives, in our homes, in our families. And we wonder why things just seem like a mess. Perhaps it's because we're not walking with the Lord as we should. It's time to consider our ways. These people were encouraged when they started the work in chapter 2 and verse 4, I'm just making some finishing thoughts. Chapter 2, verse 4, it says, be strong. Yet now, be strong. Be strong. And he says up to Zerubbabel, to Joshua, and then it says halfway down the verse in verse 4, be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. Work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. I am with you. The Lord was with these people. They had listened. They were obeying the voice of the Lord. Chapter 1 and verse 13 says, or chapter 12 says, in the middle of verse 12, with all the remnant of the people, they obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord. They got back on the right track. They got back on the right track. And it mightn't be an easy thing for you to get back on the right track if you're not on it. It might take a bit of pain. It might take a bit of time. It might take a bit of time getting before God and laying out those lists of things where you have gone wrong. As an individual. Me as an individual. And getting before God and just asking God to root out things from our lives that are hindering us from going forward. It might mean sacrifice, the cost of discipleship versus materialism. Are we truly following the Lord? Are we obeying the voice of the Lord? Are we fearing before the Lord? Are we listening to the message of the Lord today? And you know, there's wonderful joy when we're in the presence of God. Or there's wonderful joy when we do what the Lord wants us to do. Because the Lord is with us. I was saying a few moments ago, giving the illustration about how many different things can happen to us in our lives. And there's so many different things. And we wonder, why do these things happen? Perhaps because we're outside the presence of God. But the Lord is saying here, I am with you. Will you trust him today? Will you walk with him? In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Let's sing another hymn as we close our meeting. 461. 361.